Praise the Lord. Amen. I enjoyed that. That's a beautiful song. And it may be so. The next hand you shake might be the Savior's. Now, personally, I'd rather go through the rapture than go through the hospital. Amen. I'd rather go through the rapture than a terrorist blow up my airplane. Amen. I mean, the rapture, just there's something about falling out of the sky that bothers me. It offends me. Never been excited about that, but anyway, I'm excited about the rapture. I really am. There's a lot of people that are getting excited about Scripture being fulfilled, and of course, it's always fulfilled. God said it, so it is going to be fulfilled. But it's exciting to watch things happen. It's exciting to see what is going on. You see, in our passage, we're going to talk about. That man of sin, the Bible talks about in verse 3, that man of sin. You'll notice in this passage many references to sin. In verse 3, that man of sin. In verse 3, the son of perdition. Verse 4, he opposes God. Which sin, by the way, does oppose God, always does. Doesn't matter whose sin it is, doesn't matter if it's wicked sin of lying and murder and those kind of things, or gossip or any kind of sin is opposed to God. Verse 7, it talks about the mystery of iniquity. There it is again. Verse 8, it talks about that wicked be revealed. Verse 9 actually says whose coming is after the working of Satan. I think everybody understands the working of Satan would be a sinful work. And opposite of God kind of a work. Talks about in verse 9, lying wonders, lying, deceit, dishonesty. Verse 10, all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Again, the reference there to sinful things. And then verse 12 ends with, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I don't know of anything that would describe our day any more than that last part of verse 12, pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, obviously, as we'll see here in a few minutes, that is for those who believe not the truth. That is for those who are lost. They believe not the truth, but they had pleasure in unrighteousness. And we see the idea that sin does have its pleasure. Moses recognized that, but said, I'll choose God's way rather than the pleasure of sin for a season, because the pleasure of sin always is just for a season. Anybody in this room you interview is going to tell you that that sin, okay, it does have its pleasure, but it's just a season. Now, I'll be honest with you, folks. I think the season's just about up. And I believe that this prophecy is going to come true soon. And I'm not making a prediction. The Bible's very clear about doing that. But I believe that we live in a day where this passage right here, I mean, it could come to pass at any time. It could take place at any time. I am excited about 2010. I'm excited. I'm watching. I'm looking for Jesus, literally looking for Jesus anytime. As Brother Hawkins and Sister Coke, as they were singing, I was thinking, wow, he could anytime. We could be shaking his hand. Anytime. I mean that marriage supper of the Lamb, I can almost smell the chicken cooking. Amen? Well, it'd have to be fried chicken. There's going to be, and steak and everything else. But I'm telling you, that man of sin, the Bible talks about in verse 3, that man of sin, known as the Antichrist, known as the son of perdition, that man of sin, the doors are open for that man of sin, more so, I believe, than any day of this world, any time, any period. I believe the doors are more open right now for that man of sin to come on the scene and do exactly what the Bible says that the Antichrist is going to do. So I want to talk to you about that man of sin. Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching. Help us to be excited about the year, the decade. Lord, we look for your coming. But if not, I pray that we will be busy, that we'll be excited, that we will love you, we'll serve you. I pray that if there's one here today who's not saved, God, that they will recognize their need to trust Christ and be born again. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe today is the greatest opportunity for one man to come on the scene and take charge. And I'm going to show you why I believe that. I believe it has never been more obvious that the stage is being set for one man to come in this world and literally take charge. I mean, come on, let's be honest. We've watched over the years, and we all, many of us here, remember the 70s, and I was first saved in the 70s. Well, it was the only time I was saved, by the way. But I was saved in the 70s. And so my early Christian life was on prophecy preaching and of course a great preaching about the planets are going to line up and the Lord could come back in the late 70s and early 80s and all of that I'll be honest, I've been excited about, but we always wonder, well, how could one man have so much power? How could one man get through so many things in order to be so powerful? I mean, come on. Countries have their constitutions. Don't they? Don't they have something that would keep one man from being so powerful? And all of a sudden, we look around and we say, you know what? There's a lot of one man things going on in our world. Not just in America, but in other countries, where one man, it's all of a sudden realistic now, where one man, just like the Bible says, is going to rise up. Now, sure, he'll have opposition. I understand all of that. The Bible's clear about the opposition, and there's going to be wars and everything else. But one man, and people will love him. I suppose that's what bothers me the most. But why do they love him? I've already shown you what he is. The Bible says he's a man of sin. He's a son of perdition. He works the mystery of iniquity that has always been worked. He's wicked in verse 8. He's after the working of Satan. He's unrighteous. Who in the world would embrace a man like that? Oh, and verse 12 tells me that. It's those who had pleasure in unrighteousness. It's people who have said unrighteousness is okay. It's folks who said it's all right to sin. It's folks who have the mentality, because they've grown up thinking that way, that, hey, these things are okay. It's all right. And they're going to embrace this man. This one man. And he's going to be their Savior. And I remind you of this. It will only last a season. It will only last a season. 2010 could be the year Jesus comes back. Could be the year of the rapture, I should say. Could be the year that Jesus comes in the clouds and takes us away. I don't know what all we're going to see. I was praying with Dale. Sometimes I get chills just thinking about some of the things that could happen to you and I. Some of the laws that are being already pushed through that are going to affect you and I. I look at our children and it absolutely sends chills up and down my spine thinking of what they might have to deal with if Jesus doesn't come for us soon. I am in awe of God's Word and how He shows us so clearly. I want to go through these verses and I want to talk to you about that man of sin. The Bible says in verse 1, He says, "We beseech you, brethren." This is a serious matter, and it was a serious matter in Paul's day, and the early Christians, they really believed Jesus was coming. They really believed it was going to happen in their day. Do you understand? They were looking for these things to take place in their day. They watched for Jesus. They weren't like us where we know He's coming, but we're not really that convinced. They were looking for him. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus. He says, I want to exhort you based on the fact that Jesus is coming again. And he says that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. He says, I don't want this to trouble you. I don't want it to scare you. I don't want it to shake you up. I don't want it to certainly to shake your faith. Hey, he's being very clear about this, this is the last day. That was 2,000 years ago. These are the last days. That was 2,000 years ago. How much more should we take his beseeching, his exhortation, based on the coming of Christ? But he says this, he says very clearly that two things are going to happen before Christ returns. And he says there's no question about that. And you have to understand, there are two events when we talk about the return of Christ. One is the return of Christ in the clouds. And by the way, I preached about the clouds being the dust of his feet. And it only makes sense that he would come in the clouds, amen. But I see storm clouds rising, and I believe he's going to come in the storm clouds. And he's going to be in the clouds, and he's going to call us up. We call that the rapture. And we're just going to be gone. I don't understand how it's all going to work. I can't even imagine it in my mind, you know. But I do in my mind. I think about it, and I wonder about it, and boom, just like that. In other words, if the rapture took place right now, most of this crowd would be gone. Just gone. I mean, just like that. We're gone. Do that again, D. I like that. Do it again. Yeah, I like that. Good. That's it. Now, I don't know if there's going to be time for that or not. I'm not sure, but we're just going to be gone. Period. And so there's the rapture of the church, and then there is the second coming of Christ, which comes after the 7 years tribulation. That 7 years tribulation, we preach about that and we talk about that. That's a terrible time on this earth. It is an unbelievable time. It's called tribulation. It's terrible, terrible time. God's going to take us out of here for that time on this earth. And God is going to deal with his people, the Jews, and he's going to deal with all kinds of things. But before Christ returns to the earth, two things are going to happen according to this passage. And one of those is there's going to be a falling away, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. And the second thing is the man of sin. That man of sin will be revealed. He says, let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Number one, I want you to see his appearance. His appearance. Again, that man of sin is what we call the Antichrist. That man of sin is in prophecy all over the Scripture. That man of sin is every bit as filled with the power of Satan as any man could be. But he is a man, and he is called a man of sin. He is a deceiver, he is a liar, and he has gotten all of his power from Satan, but he's been given power by man because men love unrighteousness. And that man of sin, number one, we see his appearance. It's important to us because this time of revealing is called the tribulation. But I believe that he is being brought in now. And if Jesus came back even within the next 20 years, stuff would be happening. Things would be going on. Again, I'm not making any predictions. I'm just saying that by the way, verse 7 says that even in Paul's day, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. This iniquity, this sin, this wickedness, this prone to wickedness started working years ago with Adam and Eve in the garden. This mystery of iniquity doth already work. Two things about his appearance. First, there's going to be a falling away. What's that? That's an apostasy of the faith. That's an apostasy. Obviously, here in the United States, we're seeing this more and more. We used to pray for folks in other countries. Now they're praying for us. It's a falling away of the faith. It's all of a sudden, you know, what everybody used to accept and everybody used to at least believe to some extent, now it's like we're the Antichrist. Now it's like, we're the terrorists. Now it's like, we're the ones everybody is watching. Because we sing songs about Jesus. Because we preach about Jesus. Falling away. Notice this described in 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. And several verses about this, but I just want to move on. But the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. The apostasy, the falling away of the faith. You know, we see that today. People are departing from the faith. They're departing from salvation by grace through faith. They're departing from having assurance of salvation. They're departing from the virgin birth and miracles of God. They're departing and they're going to a carnal kind of a worship where whether you're saved or not is not the issue. It's just whether you're sincere. They're departing from a faith that preaches against sin and points out that sin is the reason why all men are condemned to hell unless they get saved. Departing from that kind of ministry, departing from soul winning and telling people, confronting people on the streets. Hey, listen, are you saved? If you died, would you go to heaven? Because that, again, would be not politically correct. You don't want to hurt somebody's feelings telling them they're a sinner. Falling away from the true faith. That which used to be preached as truth. Again, I'm not talking about Baptist, Pentecostal, Methodist, or whatever. I'm just talking about what the Bible says. True faith. And the faith. 1 John 4, verse 3. 1 John 4, 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. They're not of God. It says it's not of God. Again, notice Jesus Christ, Christ being the anointed one, being the Messiah. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Do you understand how many religions that takes in? And do you realize that in America, that used to not even be a question? Well, yeah, we know Jesus is God. I mean, even those who were not churchgoers would recognize, well, of course, we know why we celebrate Christmas. We know what Christmas is all about. We know what Easter is all about. We know that Jesus came, and we know that Jesus died on a cross, and we know that Jesus rose again. Talk about that today. And people look at you like you're nuts. Religious people look at you like you're nuts. That's our day. He said, this is that spirit of what? Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now, already is it in the world. Even in John's day, that same spirit was in the world, working that mystery of iniquity, working to get people to believe this same stuff against the fact that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. I like what he says, and some of you are looking at me like, okay, remember this. Verse 4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. I look around at Christians today, and I'm not sure we really believe that. I'm not sure. You know, well, everybody's kind of going this way. Everybody's drifting that way, and everybody's drifting away from old-fashioned hell-hating and sin-fighting Christian fundamentalism. Everybody's kind of drifting. Come on, preacher. The word fundamental, they're using it now as a negative thing. But it's not a negative thing. It just means we believe the fundamentals. We just believe what we've always believed. Somebody better believe what we've always believed. But all over this world, people are going away. And there's a falling away. Again, we're not talking about just in some countries. I'm talking about worldwide. There's a falling away. This falling away ushers in the Antichrist because obviously our influence is the thing that's holding him back. And I mean our influence, because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. That's the only thing that's stopping this country from literally destroying itself because of sin. It's because some folks are led by the Holy Spirit of God, saying, wait a minute, this is wrong. Some folks are standing up against abortion, saying it's murder. Now, what I just now said, it's getting real close where I will go to jail for saying that. It's getting real close when you stand up and just preach what the Bible says. If you preach about homosexuality, sodomy, the Bible calls it. Forget gay. Nothing gay about it. Sodomy, the Bible calls it, because God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of those kinds of perversions. But see, that day is coming where I say that. And I will start Abundant Pardon Prison Ministry inside. I'm just saying, you know, used to be every church would take the same kinds of stand. But you're not seeing that today. You're seeing more and more churches that are saying it's okay for a couple of men to marry each other. And it's okay for those same men to marry each other. They can adopt children. And these guys and girls now, clergy, are marrying them. But see, that used to not be, especially in America. There's a falling away, the Bible says. And that falling away ushers in the Antichrist. But you'll notice something else about the Antichrist's appearance, that man of sin's appearance. The Holy Spirit will be removed. Because verse 6, it says, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. What's keeping him back? What is keeping the Antichrist from just standing up and taking charge right now? Well, the Holy Spirit, who lives inside his temples. That's us. And when we're gone, I think he'll be the first one on TV. I think he'll be the first one on the internet making his statement. Some in my mind, I can see it happening. And it's amazing some of the issues that I think are going to be addressed. But I'm not going to be here. Verse 7, it says, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The word let there, we think of let in a different way. Literally, it means to hinder. And the Holy Spirit is hindering that spirit of Antichrist because of you and I. They say, get the Christians out of here. These people are nuts. They're wacky. They need to thank God for us. They need to thank God for Christianity. They need to thank God for a Christian faith that believes in America and believes in what America has always stood for and believes in what many have given their lives for. And I'll tell you this, when we're gone, they'll see what it's going to be like. When we're out of here and the Holy Spirit he dwells inside of us, that restraint will be gone. I cannot imagine a world without the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Honestly, folks, you know, you think of the tribulation, you go through and you read, wow, this is going to happen, this is going to... The thinking, the mentality, the laws, everything that is going to go on, I should say the lawlessness, minus the Holy Spirit of God's influence, it is going to be unbelievable. Because the Holy Spirit holds everything back because there's old-fashioned preaching still going on and old-fashioned soul-winning and bus ministries, and literally he's hindering the spirit of Antichrist by opening people's eyes to see what's going on. And that is the only hope, by the way, is for the Holy Spirit to open somebody's eyes. That is it. I was 17 years old, and I was blind as I could be till the Holy Spirit opened my eyes. And I could see, wow, I'm going to go to hell. And maybe you're here today without Christ. You need your eyes open. You need your eyes open because you could either die or Jesus could come. And my friend, you will spend eternity in hell. And you don't have to, because Jesus loves you and He died for you. And there will be a falling away, and the Holy Spirit will be removed. Because we'll be removed. We'll be taken out. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. We're heading into this passage in my Sunday school class. I'm excited about it. The Bible says, verse 16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Amen. And if we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and He dwells inside of us, when we are taken, He's taken. And there will be no hindrance then. And it'll be unbelievable. And that man of sin will step forward as the Savior of the world. But remember, you won't be there to argue, Don. You won't be able to tell the guys at work, "Hey, don't you know who this guy is?" Because you'll be gone. You guys in the factories, you try to tell them now, and I know Brother Dale Bowman, we hear about that, and Brother Rick Mormon. You're trying to tell them now, but hey, listen, you won't be there. And this guy's slick when he comes on the television. And he's slick when he comes on the computer. And you won't be there to say, "Don't you see? This is a lie. Don't you see? You're being deceived." We won't be there. Berean Baptist Church, they won't be able to come and find the truth here. Oh, they can see our literature, but I guarantee literature will all get burnt. It'll all be destroyed. Are you listening? Somebody will have church here. Of course. It's an empty building. Why wouldn't they? So, preacher, there won't be religion, will there? Of course there will. There's a false prophet. He's a prophet. He is a religious leader. There will always be religious people in this world of iniquity, wickedness, satanic, lying, signs, wonders, deceit, unrighteousness. Oh yeah, there's always going to be religion in that. Number one, His appearance. Number two, His attributes. Verse 3 says He's the son of perdition. Jesus came as God in the flesh, and the Antichrist will come as a man empowered by Satan. Verse 9, "Even Him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." People will eat it up. They'll love it. They're doing it now. Verse 8, "Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume." Then shall that wicked, he's wicked. He is the embodiment of all wickedness. And he has lots of power in his wickedness. Go with me to Daniel 11, verse 36. And if you'll look at verse 36, you can compare it with verse 4. And you see exactly where this man is coming from. Daniel 11. Tonight I'm going to preach from Daniel 11 and talk about the times before the tribulation. But Daniel 11, verse 36. Boy, you could not have a better comparison of Scripture than verse 36 of Daniel 11. And verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians 2. It says in verse 36, "The king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done." Verse 4, keep your place there in Daniel, but go back to verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians. It says, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." That is, that man of sin. Back to Daniel 11. You get a further description. "Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers." This is a religious man. Here's a guy that grew up in church, the God of his fathers. Bible says, nor the desire of women. Now, some people say that means homosexuality. But it could also mean the desire of women was the Messiah. Every woman wanted to give birth to the Messiah. So it's unclear what that means. Either way, this man is not regarding that, nor regard any God. He shall magnify himself above all. That is secular humanism right there. That is what our children are being taught in the public schools, that man is the measure of all things. That is secular. That is the religion of humanism. Oh, you can't talk about Jesus in school, but you can talk about man. Don't tell us about Jesus and his holiness, but we'll tell you about man. Man is the measure of all. He shall magnify himself above all. That's his religion. It is the worship of himself. It says, in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. That's an interesting thing. Some say that the God of forces is talking about Satan and his power. Others say, because of what goes on and some other verses, that it's talking about his military power. At any rate, he's totally, totally taken his stand against God. And he will do that openly. Those are his attributes. He is anti-Christ. Number three, we see his actions. Back to 2 Thessalonians. His actions. Of course, he's opposed to God, verse 4. Verse 9, it says, with all power, signs, lying wonders, deceit. Verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. He is obviously opposed to God. He is anti everything that God stands for. Thereby, he is the Antichrist. The sin of Satan in the beginning, of course, was the lying and deceiving. This man of sin will lie and deceive. And it's already happening in our world. And it always has been. And it always will be his way. Satan is the father of lies. And here's the amazing thing. Men will follow him. And men, if he is alive today, men are following him today. I've never seen a time where people are so blind to the truth as our time today. Blind to the truth. Yeah, but it'll get me money. Don't you understand? Everything has to be paid for. Is it right for me to expect these little children to pay for everything that I get? Aren't I supposed to take care of them? Look, folks, we're passing debt on to the point that this country isn't even going to be able to survive. Well, just make more money. It doesn't work that way. Deceit. And today, we see that. The depth of sin. This, you know, verse 4 is very powerful. Opposeth, exalteth himself above all that is called God. It's no accident that Christmas is under attack. That's not an accident. You know, it's no accident that you can't use the name of Jesus in our schools. It's no accident that there are lawsuits, one taking the Ten Commandments off the courthouses. It's no accident, folks. This man is opposed to God. And so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. It's no accident. Evolution's not an accident. Humanism's not an accident. Abortion is not an accident. Everything is part of the plan. And the amazing thing, men will follow. If you were to follow verse 12 down there, and I'm getting off on a tangent now, but that's okay. It's a commercial. that they all might be damned that believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Everything that we're fighting against, somebody is getting pleasure out of. Do you understand? Folks, the abortion issue, seriously, honestly. If folks would just quit living like barnyard animals, abortion wouldn't be an issue. Come on now. Oh, I know. Preacher, you're going to get in trouble. Bless God, I was born for trouble as the sparks fly upward. If folks would just, look, if a couple will get married and a husband loves his wife and a wife loves her husband and they'll just stay together and they'll have children the way God intended them to, we wouldn't have any abortions. It wouldn't be an issue. But that pleasure in unrighteousness, where we're going to live like barnyard animals, where you know, male pig runs to all the female pigs. That's it. That's our problem. Yeah, but I'm having a good time. And you're killing little babies while you're having your good time too. You say, boy, you're going to make people mad. I hope somebody here gets mad. And you get mad enough to get right with God. Because I'm telling you, these are the kinds of things that are ushering in that man of sin. Because that's his policy. That's what he's after. Sin. Everything that is against God. Back to verse 36 in Daniel 11. And you don't have to turn there, but because we'll look at it again tonight. But he does according to his will. It's very clear that the Antichrist, and there was a man, certainly, in the history books, Antiochus Epiphanes, who was a very, very good description of the Antichrist. And you want to study what you think the Antichrist and some of his evil, go study that man. You talk about a wicked man. Persecuting the Jews and attacking the Jews and just some amazing stories and amazing things. But here's the thing. He does according to his will. Wait a minute. Whoa. What about all the checks and balances? What about the checks and balances? See, when you take away the checks and the balances and you ignore them, you set the stage for somebody being able to do whatever they want to do. Right? Lawlessness. Power, and that more than any time I've been alive anyway, I'm seeing it set in motion where we're giving power to people. What about we the people? You know, other countries are used to dictatorships. We're not. We're not. Some of you need to wake up. I'm serious about this thing. You need to, honestly, we need to get our heads out of the sand and understand that the dictatorship, all it is one man having power that is more important than our Constitution of the United States of America. But you know what? We're starting to get used to it. We're starting to get used to disregarding we the people because that's old-fashioned. This thing that just happened in Copenhagen called Hopenhagen, you need to understand some stuff. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but you better get your head out of the sand, Christian. And if you're not saved, I'd really, really consider getting saved. Because here's a treaty that will overrule our Constitution. And it will usher in a one world government. And it will redistribute the wealth. And there will be control, as we've gotten used to, by unelected, unaccountable people. I'm telling you, folks, that's ushering in the possibility of one man. Stuff like that. And there's all kinds of things like that. You know, where the majority doesn't matter, we know what's best. Do you understand that you are a threat to Mother Earth? Did you know that? Oh, yeah. That has been established now. You are leaving carbon behind. They're calling it your carbon footprint. And your carbon footprint is killing everybody. Don't you understand that? That's with your global warming garbage. There is no such thing. That is false. That is one of the lies of the Antichrist and his spirit. There is no global warming. Go outside. You'll see how warm it is. There's going to be global warming. I guarantee the Bible says, and it's going to melt away with a fervent heat one of these days. But I'm just telling you, there. Listen to me. This idea, because carbon, 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 carbon. You know, I can honestly see. I can almost hear the networks covering the rapture. Well, look what this man has done. He has saved the earth. He's eliminated all these people. And he spared us another billion years. And I can hear the people cheering because our carbon footprints have been removed. Folks, honestly, powers, signs, lying wonders, his actions are going to be unbelievable. And we're seeing stuff happen. Man, it doesn't matter. By the way, if your carbon footprint is such a problem, can you see with our new health care? Can you really see what the thought process is going to be on that? Will we all just have a number attached to us depending on our age and our ability to produce in the world compared to our carbon footprint we're leaving? Well, you know, it doesn't balance out now. Again, I don't know that that's what's going to happen. You say, well, you're just trying to scare everybody. I'll tell you what, I think we're beyond that, because the problem with most people is they have a pleasure in unrighteousness. And it's like, it's unbelievable. Come on, sign the treaty, sign the treaty, sign the treaty, yes! And I think, you just don't get it. You don't get it. The Constitution of the United States of America. Just burn it. A couple other things here. Revelation, I'm just about done. Revelation 13:11. Revelation 13:11. Say, well, preacher, I like you. Starting off the year encouraging. We are more than conquerors. Amen. Revelation 13:11. Now, you get the encouragement tonight. Amen. Bible says here, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceive them. And deceive them. And deceive them. Back to 2 Thessalonians, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with power, signs, and lying wonders. And the devil, certainly. You know, I used to laugh when people talked about the devil having any power. And I used to think that was funny until I've seen his power. I saw it first as an unsaved teenager when I messed with a Ouija board. Had no idea what was going on, but I watched that thing move and I knew, oh yeah, there is some power there. Now again, all that is about is deceiving people into following him. That's all it's about. But I've got news for you. The devil has all kinds of power and he's showing his powers. He really is. Number four is his accomplishment. What does he accomplish when he comes? With all deceivableness, verse 10, of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And so we all go, and all those that heard, you're sitting here today and you've heard the truth. You've heard how to be saved. You refuse to get saved and you're left behind. And the Bible says this. It says, that they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11, for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. You know, it's like Pharaoh hardened his heart. He hardened his heart and he hardened his heart. And then God said, okay, all right. And then God hardened his heart to use him. And the Bible says, you say, nobody's going to believe that, especially if they just heard your message. Somebody that's sitting here that's lost, you say, when I see it happen, I'll get saved. No, you won't. You won't get saved. Not then you won't. Not if you've heard it. Because my Bible makes it clear, they receive not the love of the truth. You rejected salvation. People will get saved during the tribulation, but not somebody that rejected it. No, no. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. They rejected it. In my mind, I just envision the lie of the devil. Because, you know, how do you explain all these Christians being gone? How could he possibly explain all these people? They're good people. They're not bad people. Well, they're fundamentalists. We've got them on our watch list. We're going to really check them on the plane. If they only knew, we're terrified of falling out of the sky. I have no death wish at all. Certainly, I'm not going to carry bomb material with me. The way things go for me, as I'm walking to get there, it would blow up. Psalm 81, verse 11. I am so close to being done, you'd be amazed. Psalm 81, 11. The Bible says, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. His accomplishment. All those people lost, deceived. They will follow Him. They're going to follow Him to the Battle of Armageddon. They're going to point weapons at Jesus and at His army, which is us. But I close with number 5, His adversary. And I like verse 8 and many verses in Scripture. It says, and then shall that wicked be revealed whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. Oh yeah, Satan has an adversary, all right, and it's God. And those who worshiped and followed that man of sin will see him destroyed. Oh, they'll go through all kinds of things. They'll take the mark of the beast. They'll take all kinds of identification so they can eat and they can drink and they can buy and they can sell. They'll go through all those things. They'll be loyal to that man of sin. They'll really believe, boy, what a great guy. He, you know, this guy has done all these things for us. Oh, he's such a good guy. So deceived. But you need to understand, if you're on the side of that man of sin, he has an adversary who is God Almighty. And all those that worshiped him will see him destroyed, and they with him will perish in hell. In Matthew 24, verse 30. And I close with this. Matthew 24, 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And they shall see Him, the One they rejected. The Bible says every mouth will be stopped as they stand before Him. I just say this, folks. That man of sin, I personally believe he is alive today. I don't know who he is. I don't know that we will know who he is. I know there's a whole bunch of people he could be. Amen. I know there's the Bible says there are many antichrists in the world. There are many people that are opposed to Christ. They're against the things of Christ. That mystery of iniquity is working well in our world today. No question about that. But the question I have for you, are you ready for Jesus to return? Look, and we talk about this in our school all the time. A child says, you know, I really don't want Jesus to come. I'd like to get married, live my life. And I do understand that. And I'm not, but you know, honestly, folks, what I mean is, not so much are you looking forward. I know a bunch of people looking forward to him coming. But are you ready? My Bible says in Amos 4:12, prepare to meet thy God. Are you ready? What if the next hand you shook was Jesus? What would you tell him about your life? And we need to go into 2010 ready to do something for God. We really do. You say, well, all these things going on. And you know what we need to do? The verse, it goes on, it says, now you stand. You stand. We might see persecution like we've never seen. Never, really. I mean, we think somebody laughing at us, that's persecution. That's nothing. That's nothing. Talk to some of our missionaries in other countries. Yeah, we're honestly, what does 2010 hold? What are we going to do? If you're here today and you're not saved, you ought to get saved. Christian, if you're not right with God, you ought to get right with God. Let's be ready. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around. How many here today would say, preacher, I've never been saved. If I died right now, I do not know that I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Raise your hand. Anyone, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Never trusted Christ as Savior. Pray for me. Pray for me. Anyone? Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. How many people would say, preacher, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, but God has spoken to my heart about something today. Pray for me as a Christian. Raise your hand. All over. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Father, we thank you again for the Word of God. We thank you that, Lord, you've given us your Word so that we can know not only how to live, but what's going to happen. And what to look for. And God, I pray that you'll help us to take our stand against that man of sin, that lifestyle, that thinking, that iniquity. Help us to continue to tell the truth and preach the truth with the power of the Holy Spirit so that people's eyes can be open and people can turn to you. Bless the invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. 261, turn your eyes upon Jesus. And that's where we need to keep our eyes. God speak in your heart today. You have a decision to make. You come.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life for a
are bowed, eyes are closed. Any others need to come? Many have come. There's something you'd like to pray about. Just remember, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Keep in mind, those around, they're not our enemy. They need to hear about Jesus. They need their eyes open. There is an enemy. His name is Satan. He hates you. He hates his church. He hates the preaching. His influence has caused some interesting laws, some beginnings of laws and some thinking. Where will you stand? Any others need to come? The invitation's still open. Amen. All right, look up this way. Don't forget, at 4:30, you'll have ensemble practice. 5 o'clock, all the different groups will be practicing. And men's prayer time and ladies' prayer time and teens will meet. And amen. And now that everybody's excited and encouraged. Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. So, and then we'll have church, of course, tonight, and you get to hear a little bit more out of Daniel 11. I'll tell you, Daniel 11 is an exciting chapter. It really is. Look, read it. You say, no, I don't understand any. You should have come to my Daniel class. Everybody that was in my Daniel class understands it, right? Why didn't you do well on the quiz then? All right, let's pray.
I have two requests that I'd like for you to help us pray for. One is my nephew, Matthew Pearson, deploying today to Kuwait. The other is a great niece, 8 months old, who will be going heart surgery tomorrow, open heart surgery, which will be a 5 to 8 hour operation, Isabel Morgan. Any others that have family that are in need health-wise? Lifted hands. Know people that are military and deploying. Now, yes, okay, let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you've given to us your word and the pastor brought today the truth of the end time. We see it around us. And Lord, it may be soon that you come. And Father, may we as Christians be the light that you'd have us to be in this world that's going darker and darker. And Lord, may our understanding and knowledge of your word help us to reveal to those around us the need for Christ, need to look to him as the things of this earth would grow strangely dim in our eyes, and looking to your glory and your coming as the man of sin is revealed. Father, I lift the prayer requests of these around us today, the needs of health and your intervention. Father, for our men and women of the armed forces who are sacrificing themselves daily for our freedom to come to a house such as this and look at the truth of your word. Father, protect them as they protect us. Now we ask that your Holy Spirit would go with us, guide us and direct us, bring us together again to look at Daniel chapter 11 tonight. We pray in Jesus' name.